dear listeners, it had to happen sooner or later. 2023 is winding down. And with this week's episode, episode 150, we are just 1 week away from the end of the year. As you know, I've been really wrestling with the fact that this podcast brings hope and is supposed to bring happiness and joy into people's lives, and a pretty beautiful reminder that all of us are beloved and all of us matter. But with recent events in the world, it's been harder and harder for me to put that message out there, to keep insisting that everything is so good for so many people. And so I've really been struggling with that and how to put this podcast out with integrity while also believing the central premise of the show. A dear friend recently sent me something from Jeff Foster, and I wanted to read it as we begin this episode because I do think that it helps to encapsulate and say a little bit of how I can ride both the line of honoring the suffering in the world, but also this line of believing in the good in people and believing in magic and believing in miracles. So here we go. As we enter the new year, let's stay, quote, in love with the simple sense of being alive, with the wildness and the weirdness, with the mess and the pain, and the awkwardness and the play of it all, with the unsolvability of it all, with the limitation and boundaries and limitlessness too, with the broken heart and the sorrowful heart and the heart full of hope, with the human mind and all that it creates, with the soul and all that she longs for, with the stillness and the silence and the chaos that is forever bringing us back to ourselves. And so with that sentiment, I'd like to begin episode 150 of Bite-Sized Blessings. As with all big episodes, there will only be the interview part of it. No bite-sized for you this week, but with episode 151, we will be back on track to what you've come to expect. My guest this week, Dr. Tori Ellis, is truly remarkable. She's a certified life and business coach, author, and entrepreneur. Her coolest book, well, I can't say that. She's written a lot of books, but the one that really kind of got her out there and got her started was The Sound of Business, Seeing Entrepreneurship Through Hip Hop. And that work fuses entrepreneurship and her passion for hip hop and bridges the cool worlds of business and creativity. But that's not all. Dr. Tori also guides youth in the Mindfulness and STEAM Mentorship Program and really, really wants to bring people to being entrepreneurs. She wants to encourage believing in yourself. She uses positive psychology. She wants to encourage those who work with her to bring their ideas to the world. She's also an incredible, incredible author. Not only is she the author of the book that I previously mentioned before, but she also has the sweetest book. It's called I Am a Mini Entrepreneur. And I went on her Amazon page and she has a plethora of books. So please be sure to check out her work. There will be a link to her website, thesoundofbusiness.org, on the treasures page of my website, bitesizedblessings.com, and there will be a link to her Amazon page in the episode show notes. Dr. Tori and I talk a lot, but what I really appreciated about her is that she is authentic, she has integrity, and she is not afraid of being vulnerable. And the story that she tells this week is so powerful and all about listening to that still small voice within, but believing in yourself and believing in the possibilities of what can come. All right, and with that, here's episode 150 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
They counted me out. Doctors counted me out. One particular story I will never forget. I was feeling so much pain. I ended up going to the hospital. I was in the hospital two times in a matter of the week. And my parents, I was away in school, college. I went to University of Albany. And the doctor in the hospital was like, oh, she needs to get a hysterectomy. He's about to take my whole uterus out at 19. So my friend and my boyfriend at the time was like, oh, no. From what I got told was that my cousin seen the text message on the phone and then looked in the audience and made eye contact with my mom and my dad and was like, I gotta go. Tori needs you now. And if a 3 hour and 30 minute ride was covered in 2 hours to get up there, they got up there and they stopped this doctor from taking my uterus out. I'm getting comfortable to using this Dr. Ellis, okay? I haven't fully embraced this yet. This is like one of those experiences where it's just like, okay, I'm not too sure. Like, you know, I like to gain those genuine conversations first. And sometimes putting that doctor in front of it, it can sway a conversation. So I just love to just introduce. So I'm that introvert, extrovert, like I'm really shy, observant, but if you get to know me, I'm a ball of fun. And I'm a super creative. I love to write books. I love music. I love to do art. Like these are some art pieces that I created behind me. I'm just a ball of surprises. I'll say that. If it sums up anything, I'm a ball of surprises. You never know what you're going to get. My mind is very vast and I like to just keep it that way. You know, keep it fun, keep it light. And if ever it has to get serious, then of course I could put on the hat and get serious. But yeah, I'm definitely that person.
I love that. You were the first person to self-describe as a ball of surprises. That's so fun. I just think to myself, I want to go out with her. We need to go have fun together. You are also just like prolifically creative, and there will be a link to your website under the episode show notes. And then I'm going to put your book up on my website, one of your books up on my website so people can check you out. But you're just, your mind, I think what is really delightful for me is that your mind just absolutely seems to hold so many different ways of being. And in that way, like, you know, you're Dr. Tori Ellis, right? So you had to, at some point, use the logic part of your brain to get through school, to attain becoming a doctor. And, but then you have this really incredible creative part of you that uses, well, you know, science is saying it's a totally different part of your brain. Who knows at this point, but here you are. Books. I mean, I do also think, I do think that modeling is a very creative process. And you talked about that you used to model before. Absolutely. You do mentorship, which I think is so, for me, you have to stay on your toes because every single human being is different and mentoring each person is different. And so, and I mean, would you describe yourself as a really creative person?
Overall, I'm a creative. Like I'm super creative. If I was to walk into a room and someone's like one word that would describe you, I'm a creative. I don't have just one niche of creativity because my imagination, I thank God for my imagination. Oh my goodness. And my parents for allowing my imagination to be what it is. But literally my imagination just being how imaginative it is. And I'm still a big kid at heart. So I still watch my anime. I still watch my, you know, play my video games from time to time. And I still draw. And I have a 2-year-old. So of course now it's imagination play with her. And she's super creative too. So it's just like seeing myself now in a 2-year-old version. And it's just like, oh my gosh, like I can only imagine what she's going to be like when she's my age. Cause to get to this point and to get to be comfortable where I am with all like my creativity and, you know, with my skills and finding a way to hone in on it and harness it and like create my own path with everything. I like to incorporate it all because I mean, yes, you use your left side and your right side of your brain. Like I could be really logical and I can be really objective and, or really subjective depending on the situation. But then at the same time too, you got to think outside the box because sometimes being in that box, it doesn't work. So thinking outside the box and letting my imagination carry me of how to do it, I've been able to come up with so many different solutions or so many different ideas that I probably wouldn't have thought of if I was just sitting here on my logical side all day, you know? So it's kind of fun. And I feel like I use my creativity to bring that fun and to bring that youthfulness back out, because dealing with, you know, the youth or even dealing with adults who they probably are still healing that inner child or, you know, still taking off some layers, you got to bring that back out. So the journaling and the drawing and the paint and, you know, just being able to express yourself in different ways. It's so many different avenues. And I feel like if you can do it, if you can do one, you can do so many. Like, you have an eye for it. Like photography, I could pick up a camera and take a picture, but then I can direct. I can go sit down and be the muse behind it. But I can also see the muse outside of it and be like, hey, let's go look over here. And it's just, it's endless.
Couple questions about the books. In April 2020, you released, I love this title, I Am a Mini Entrepreneur. And it's just, the illustrations are gorgeous. It's just such a joyful cover. And what was so intriguing for me is it's so layered. You have, I'm a mini entrepreneur, but it's for kids to surprise and support their military family members all over the world. You know, the protagonist is on this mission to help other kids. And so how did helping military families kind of, I don't know, how did that, what was the genesis of that?
So, okay. This story comes full circle and it's really special to me because I'm a mini entrepreneur. I decided after I wrote my first book, The Sound of Business, Seeing Entrepreneurship Through Hip Hop, I said, I did one for the adults. I got to do one for kids because I was a teacher, right? And I've always been in the education field. When I was younger, I always grew up around my grandparents. My grandparents, I'll go down south for the summer. 3 months out of the year, I'm with them. And I used to get called Cocoa Puffs. I used to come back real chocolate from being in the sun all day. And my hair was always in these two big puffs. And I was like, okay, I can see this character. And my grandfather who passed, that was my ace. Like, if my father's my left hand, he was my right hand, you know, he was in the military. So paying homage to him, he passed in 2019. I was like, you know, I want to talk about the military family and, you know, just even those struggles of being far away and the whole bit. And I remember the stories he would tell and how my aunt, my grandmother would tell stories too about how, like, you know, she waited for him to come back and he waited for her. It was such a beautiful thing. So I wanted to talk about the military family and in that, you know, some kids who do go through that struggle from going from place to place and then finding their home and finding their friendship, right? It just so happened that I did not expect to receive the feedback that I did. And then on one of the days, I got a message on Instagram from Elena Morris. She's now one of my really, really good friends. She messaged me and she said, oh my goodness, I love your book. We come from a military family. My daughter's the only child. And she's seen this and she goes, mommy, this looks like me. And then I ended up writing a book about her and her daughter, Naomi's Closet, a couple books later. But literally, I did not know the impact that it was going to have. I literally just put together a book based off of just my love of telling stories and wanting to honor my grandfather and wanting to make something for kids. And I did not know the reach it was going to have. And this was someone that I did not know from a hole in the wall. And now me and her have such a great friendship. She was one of the first people that knew about my little one. And it just so happened that my little one, I drew that illustration I had in my mind. I sent it to my illustrator. I said, hey, this is how I want her to look. And it just so happened that when my daughter came out, she looked just like the character. So I kind of wrote my daughter into existence. I kind of wrote her into existence. Yes. And like, you'll see her, like little images of her in the books as well, because all these books are real life stories. So that's another great thing. So they're all real life stories of people who have touched my heart in some kind of way. And that's how that first book started, and it just continued to grow from there. Yeah.
That is such a great and gorgeous story. And what I especially love is that sometimes when we create things, we have no idea how they're going to move in the world. And mm-hmm. they can bring such unexpected, like, blessings and gifts, just as you said, and friendships, dear friendships. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, I alluded to this before, your, I guess, right-brainedness and Dr. Tori Ellis. But you are, and I just think this is really fabulous. You know, I love that you say for your first book, Seeing Entrepreneurship Through Hip Hop, it all started with just a simple task. I'm like, simple task? What? Mm-hmm. I don't think this task was that simple. I mean, but it looks like you created the book during your final month. Does that mean that when you were, you know, in graduate school, I mean, how did this idea come to you? Like, you didn't all write it in 1 month, did you? Or how did that happen?
So actually I did. This is what happened. Okay. So the book actually was my capstone class assignment. My professor told us that we had to write a book based off of all the information that we learned over our master's course and then how we implemented it. So I started writing this book, but I didn't want to just write it based off of just information. I had to clearly infuse it with something that I loved. And hip hop culture is a business in itself. Like, you have fashion, you have the crossover with technology, the entrepreneurs and who these artists are, whether they're independent or under a label, it's so many layers to it. So it was easy for me to be like, okay, I can put this business part into that and show it. My professor came back to me and said, you need to publish this. And that's how I became a published author. And then that book ended up going best-selling on Amazon for IO Psychology. So literally, it was just like, you know, people come back to you and you don't understand the feedback, like you say. And then now it's a whole nother layer and level of things that has sparked everything. And literally from that book, I think when I had started going through my challenges and had to have back surgery and wasn't working, I said, you know what? It's time for me to do coaching. It's time for me to open up my coaching firm. And I named my business after the book. So my business is The Sound of Business. So yeah, that's how we got here.
I love that. I was going to ask about how you found the title for your business, but there you go. You know, there are some times when I meet people that I don't know and I interview them for the podcast and it's just so clear. I don't know what your religious belief set is. I'm a panentheist, but it's so clear. You know, sometimes I can meet people and hear part of their story. And I think to myself, my God, they're so beloved, you know, and I'm listening to your story about you're in your master's program and you're writing this book and then you get published. And I think whatever spirits out there loves all of us, but I think some of us are a little more beloved than others and beautiful things happen in their lives, in our lives, that are entirely unexpected, totally surprising, and move our lives in these really unexpected ways. Hopefully mostly in good ways, positive ways, but I've also discovered that even when I feel like I'm trudging through the swamp of sadness, that good things come from those experiences as well. And I think you absolutely have worked so hard to get where you are. And I love who you are as a human because you have access to this really profound kind of basket of gifts of being highly intelligent, but also highly creative. And so I think people like that are able to see the world in just in different ways than a lot of people in society, in ways of possibility and potential. Would you agree with that, that you can see the world with different possibilities and potentials?
Most definitely. I feel like, you know, the way I view the world is not just one fold. It's so many different layers to it, right? And I feel like, you know, you are walking, or you have so many different lifetimes in the one life that you're here. You're not the same person that you was 5 minutes ago. You're not the same person that you was a year ago, you know? So each time you're transforming, and you're not just stuck to the name that you're given. So whether you're an author or a mom or a teacher, you have so many different names, and you should not let those names and those titles just limit you. So I think it's a blessing and a curse too, because then, you know, you can see all these great high potential, and you can see all these great amazing things, and you can see the potential in people and what they can be. And like, you can literally see it. But sometimes if you can see it and they don't, then, you know, it's like the saying goes, like, you know, you have to want it just as much as I want it for you. You have to want it for yourself. I feel like, you know, in that sense, it's a blessing to be able to see that. In the curse ways, when relationships have happened in the past, I've always been able to see the potential and not just the person where they are at that moment. And that was such a learning process for me too, of being able to be like, hey, I accept where you are now. I can see amazing things for you, and I can see all these amazing things coming your way, but you have to see it and you have to work for it too. And then, you know, being able to just accept the present. So that was those learning lessons that now brought me here, where it's like, you know, you accept everybody for where they are. You can have and see all these potentials, and it's amazing. But then knowing and still being like, hey, I accept you for where you are now. This is the present moment. And, you know, you have ample opportunity to get there. But I'm not going to sit here and put you on that pedestal or that expectation that you're there already, because then I'm not appreciating where you are right now.
You have such thoughtful and profound responses, and I just love it. I'm always usually, they would say that I try to push the river. So, you know, it's really hard for me to stay in the present. And I'm always trying to like push the river to get to someplace before it's really time. Very impatient. It's like a huge learning curve for me. Growth curve. Let's say growth curve. I'm trying.
Growth curve.
Yes.
It's a growth curve. You got this. It's a growth curve. Literally. It's the growth curve.
Well, I would so love to know, did you grow up in a religious household, or what did that look like for your family?
So my parents, they're from a Christian background, right? So my dad's a deacon. My grandfather was a deacon too. So heavily, heavily in the church. The pastor who I was very, very close to, who passed, and he was like, I want to say he was like 95. That was like another grandfather to me too. So I grew up in a strong Christian background. I went to Catholic school. I chose to go to Catholic school for high school. So I was open to different religions. And then a lot of it wasn't making sense for me, because then I'm just like, this is not fitting for who I am. So now I say, like, I'm spiritual. I have my connection with, you know, the Most High, and how I communicate and how I go. I don't have a church I go to or a home I go to, but I feel like my home is my temple, and I communicate and pray as I should, when I feel I should, and, you know, keep my connection as strong as possible. So I don't say I have a specific religion that I'm attached to, but definitely I'm spiritual.
I can't believe he was 95. Oh, yes. My goodness. Wow. Yes.
And sharp as nails. And I think one of the most amazing things about him, my father will always say, like, you know, he waited for you, because he would send me cards when I was away at school, and I would always be like, you know, I'm coming to see you. And he would only take guests a couple minutes at a time. And I think I did not get to his house for like 2 months, and I seen him on a Tuesday. And the last thing I remember him telling me, which was so different from what he used to preach all the time, he's like, you know, you do not have to be married to be happy. Make sure that the person you're with makes your house a home. Continue to be as beautiful as you are inside and out. And, you know, trust your heart, trust God, and keep moving forward. Literally after I left him, he passed on Friday. So my father is like, I think he waited to speak to you. And I mean, with just those moments, you take them to a different level. You take those to heart and you cherish those moments. But then, I mean, I feel like that's why I walk the path I walk, and I choose to do and live in my whole truth, however I can, because I've seen someone go for years preaching one way, and then his last message to me was everything opposite of what he always preached. And it was for me to be happy and for me to be healthy, whatever way that may have looked for me. So it was just like, I didn't have to fit in the status quo. And now I'm here.
That is really powerful. And I think it's so profound that sometimes, because people have told stories like that on the podcast before of having a really deep connection to another human being, you know, that human being waiting, even though they're on the verge of death and passing over, waiting until they can have that kind of final conversation and that whatever it is, if it's reconciliation or if it's just confirmation or they're trying to remind you of something, just having that final conversation is something that's really profound and does happen in the world. And I think it changed your life.
It definitely was a switch. And I will say that because especially during that time, life was life. Like I was super anxious. You know, diagnosed with depression, diagnosed with anxiety. You go to therapist. I was on antidepressants. I had to like completely get rid of all of that. So I was in a dark, dark space. And there was a lot of health issues that was arising too in my womb area. And as a young woman, it's just like, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Like I'm here to create. I'm here to, you know, give life. And doctors are telling me at 19, like, yeah, that's not happening for you. So I was counted out. And it's just like, okay, everything is not how I went from super healthy, super happy and high school, doing what I had to do, work, school, practice, go to college and failing classes. I'm depressed, like everything's falling apart. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I cannot, like what's happening? And yeah, I mean, that was one of those conversations where it flipped a switch, but it was one of a few. I've had a few people who definitely have said things to me in my life that have stuck, or definitely people who have touched my lives in different ways that have stuck. And I mean, I'm so grateful for those interactions. I'm so grateful for those people and just being able to have those opportunities and that grace, because not everything is perfect, you know, but just being able to have that experience, I'm truly grateful for. And I mean, you know, you don't get where you are today all by yourself. There's always small bits and pieces from other people and other situations and other things that help you grow to this point.
Yeah. It truly takes a village, I think. I mean, I've thought of people in my past that I think to myself, oh, they've been just like little angels scattered along my path. And every once in a while when I need a nudge or I need some lifting up, they kind of show up and somehow remarkably say exactly what I need to hear, or remind me of the goodness in the world, or remind me that hope is a good thing, or that they have my back, or whatever that looks like. You know, I've had also guests on the podcast. You're going to be episode 150, by the way. I know.
I like it.
Yes. Yes. I've had guests that have told the same stories. Like at some point in their life, they were having a really hard time. They were just crushed. And then someone came forth, either it was a stranger or someone they knew, and said, hey, I need to tell you this. And it changed everything for them. And I think that's, you know, I always try, look, I fail all the time. I'm like an absolutely horrible human being. And I say things that are like either internally or externally when I'm alone. And I'm like, I should not say those things. My mother sometimes is like, you are clergy. Are you supposed to be using those words? And I'm like, yes, I am. And I'm going to keep doing it because it's a good venting thing for me. But it's a good reminder that words can change lives, change worlds, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just like with your books, I mean, it goes back to your books again and how they've changed your life. And I just really appreciate that you're so brave. I mean, I said that at the beginning of the podcast, you're so brave because putting yourself out in the world like that, putting a book into the world is scary. It is so scary.
Listen, it's scary every day. Okay. I'm trying. Like, this is me putting the brave, not even putting a brave face on, because I said I wasn't going to put on faces anymore to sit here and present myself to the world. I'm just going to come out with how I am and who I am. And I feel like, you know, even sometimes I still have those moments where I'm talking my head too, and I have to answer myself. You know how they say you're crazy if you answer yourself? You're not crazy. You have conversation with yourself. Listen, have conversation with yourself, because you will be your worst critic, but you are definitely more honest with yourself than most people. So I have those conversations and I'm just like, I cannot do this. Like, this is just not comfortable for me. Like, I can't wrap my head around this. I don't know how people are doing this. And then you procrastinate, you put it off. And I'm just like, okay. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna go speak on some podcast, because I can have a conversation with someone and be perfectly comfortable. But like I said earlier, I cannot go sit in front of a camera, but just me and the camera and talk. I feel like those are my private conversations with myself. I don't record those. Like, no. And not for me to sit here and give that uplifting word, like, hey, today is a good day to go outside. And you know, trying to talk to an audience and I'm looking at myself say it back. It's, for me, it's not the most comfortable thing, but I mean, I'm getting comfortable being in the uncomfortable and I'm embracing all the uncomfortability that comes with it. And I feel the more I'm uncomfortable, the more doors open up for me and spaces that I've walked into, like this space here with you, that I would have never thought I would be in. But then I'm so grateful for it, because you meet such amazing people like yourself, you know, and have these amazing conversations and they see parts of you that maybe you don't even see, like, you know. And I'm appreciative. I'm so, so, so appreciative of just you and the time, taking the time out for this and your platform that you've created and just being you authentically. Like, I feel it from here. Miraculous. I think the story that comes to mind for me when I hear the word miraculous is my daughter. Okay. Her name is Yomi. I pronounce it Yomi, but other people pronounce it Yami. Her name is Yomi Love. And Yomi means, by definition, divine. So she's my divine love, right? As I told you before, growing up, I was told that I wasn't going to have kids. So I was supposed to be rich auntie. I had the sports cars. You feel me? I told you I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy at heart. I just got into loving my makeup and my heels and dresses and stuff like after college. But I was full on tomboy. I got told I wasn't going to be able to have kids. You know, struggled with these issues for years. They just found out a diagnosis for it. 2022. We are in 2023, which means I was suffering with this stuff for like years. I want 11 years to be exact. 2011 it started. And they counted me out. Doctors counted me out. One particular story I will never forget. I was feeling so much pain. I ended up going to the hospital. I was in the hospital two times in a matter of the week. And my parents, I was away in school, college. I went to University of Albany. And the doctor in the hospital was like, oh, she needs to get a hysterectomy. He's about to take my whole uterus out at 19. So my friend and my boyfriend at the time was like, oh no. He called my parents but couldn't get a hold of them. And I told him, you have to call my cousin. You have to text my cousin. And my cousin was playing the drums at church. My parents was at church. And from what I got told was that my cousin seen the text message on the phone and then looked in the audience and made eye contact with my mom and my dad and was like, I gotta go. Tori needs you now. And if a 3-hour and 30-minute ride was covered in 2 hours to get up there, they got up there and they stopped this doctor from taking my uterus out. But yeah, it led me to be able to have my uterus today to bring my daughter in this world. And I think how I express it is that, you know, I was going through a rough patch. Me and her father at the time, we weren't together, we separated. And I changed my number. I went completely ghost. It was like, I need a change. I was going through a huge transformation and a transition, and I felt it on a different level, you know? And I was getting guidance, and I'm like, all right, change my number. If you know my number, you know me. If you are close friends I speak to on a daily basis, you'll know how to get in contact with me. January 1st, Happy New Year! Come January 2nd, new number. Seriously, I only gave my number to all of 15 people. I was like in hiding, and definitely just healing and doing a lot of prayers and meditation and just working on myself for at least 7 months. And then I decided to go back outside. And it's the summertime, everyone's out. My cousin invited me out for this barbecue. Her dad was there. And we had a conversation. And I make a joke, like, I had too much fun in the sun. And then my son came to life, you know? And I got pregnant. And, you know, during that process, too, it was a high-risk pregnancy. I was on bed rest since 3 months. And the doctors were shocked. Like, how is she pregnant? How is this happening? I had to go to 2 doctor's appointments every week. They were trying to take her out early. Yeah, it was a lot. But I tried to keep that pregnancy as peaceful as possible. No one knew I was pregnant. Only my handful of friends knew I was pregnant. Peaceful pregnancy. And I was working during that pregnancy, too. So the books were coming out. I was publishing books. We had like shipments and stuff. So if I'm supposed to be on bed rest, my feet are up and I'm working in a bed, you know? And she was breached. I had a car accident the year before. No, I had a car accident 2 years before, but I had spinal surgery the year before. And that's what sparked me going into deep healing and everything. And that car accident, I couldn't bend, lift, or twist anything more than 5 pounds on my back. So I couldn't work. I started my business, the Sonda business. Me and her dad separated after that, full cleanse. And then, you know, it's time for birth, but they were saying I can't do a natural birth. So all my plans out the window of what I wanted. And C-section was the only way. She was breech. You know, she had a plan of her own. So I was put to sleep when she came. So I had a full on surgery to get her here. I went to sleep pregnant, woke up and seen her in the incubator right next to me. And I was just like, okay, this is it. I'm a mom now. Like, I was a mom before, but she was in my belly, but now she's out, like she's here. And I just, it was shocking. Cause it's like, you know, you went to sleep one way and woke up another. That's truly like out of a book. Truly out of a book. But yeah, she has been just the brightest light ever. She's one of my greatest teachers, and anything miraculous, that would be her. How she got here, her purpose here, everything. And I feel like she was definitely a gift from my grandfather who passed. He passed on her dad's birthday, which was July 12th. He passed July 12th, 2019. Her dad's birthday is July 12th. And July 12th, 2020, I found out I was pregnant. And I'm like, she's meant to be here. And my grandfather left me a gift. So I can love on her because I love on everybody. But so I can love on her, so I can have that unconditional love back. And that's my miraculous story, getting my baby here.
I love that because, you know, there are certain souls, you know, when I hear their stories or I hear how they came into the world or what they've achieved, I hear, oh man, like that soul was like ready and was thinking, nothing is going to stop me. Nothing. She's like, she's been told she can't get pregnant. Doesn't matter. I'm coming. And that's it. End of that story. So I'm going to follow your daughter because I'm sure she's here to change the world.
I mean, yeah, that girl been on a mission. I mean, I had, even from the time she was in my belly, I had premonitions, like my grandfather telling me like, hey, she's coming early. 108. So I'm like, 108, she's coming early. I told my mom. My mom was like, all right, because whenever you dream about something, it'd be happening. So I'm like, okay. I made sure that my maternity shoot was January 6th. January 8th, homegirl had me in triage. I was dilating. I was a centimeter and a half. Mind you, she was due in March. And I'm like, girl, what's going on? Like, they put me back on bed rest again. And I had to keep my feet up. And couldn't do anything. She was just trying to come early. And I'm like, you here, trying to come here and shake some stuff up. So, all right, now, we'll see what you're here to do. But she walks in the room and literally she is the embodiment of her name. Like, everyone's like, oh my God, I love her so much. She's so amazing. And she's, I love you. And comes in, she's so intellectual. She's so emotionally intelligent at 2. It's just scary. Cause she'll sit down and tell me, mommy, I'm upset. I'm like, why are you upset? Like, so come take your breaths. And goes, and I'm like, you know what? All right. Cause you're awesome. I can't. You're so awesome. You're so awesome.
It's like she's a little adult. She's like, it's mm-hmm. her superpower is being really cute and wise and wonderful. And I really love that. And I also really appreciate and really, I say love a lot, but I really love your story about, you know, still being in contact with your grandfather, because I do believe last weekend was the first time I went to my sister's house for the night. So it was the first time my mother had some time to herself and mm-hmm. was in the house alone that she and my stepfather lived in for 30 years. And I came back the next day and she said, you know, the strangest thing happened last night. My mom doesn't really believe in any of this stuff, but I said, what happened? And she said, well, I was, and Tim would always sit in this big lazy boy chair, which I've been occupying now. So I wasn't there to take it over. And she said multiple times during the night, she was sitting on the couch and she just got this really intense feeling that Tim was sitting over on the chair. And she said, she kept turning her head because the feeling was so palpable that he was there. And I said, well, you know, it's the first time I've left the house. It's the first time I'm not in that chair. Of course he's coming to visit you. You know, you're alone and he can have some quiet time with you. So I do so believe in that so very much, that our loved ones can come back and for a visit or to give advice or to tell what might happen in the future, whatever that looks like. And it warms my heart that this beloved grandfather still comes back and just loves you so much and is still in contact mm-hmm. with you. And I love that you're loved so much.
It's truly a blessing. Like every time I see white butterflies outside, I see it's like, that's him. And I'm like, all right, hey, Pop, you know, like I have my guardian angels, like between him and Pastor Boyd is my guardian angel too. That's my father's guardian angel. Like, I feel like they definitely help you on your journey. If they cross over, they're crossing over and their mission is never just done. Their earthly mission is done, but now their spiritual mission is definitely starting. And you know, you embrace that, you acknowledge that, you celebrate that, because you know they're peaceful and you know they're at peace, but they were ascended to a part where now they're guiding you in ways that you probably didn't know they were guiding you when you was here. And it's just in a different capacity. So I feel truly honored and blessed to be able to be like, to feel that and still have that. And I mean, like, my ancestors are always around. Like, you know, your ancestors are always here. They speak to you. Sometimes they come back in your kids, you know? So you just gotta just be mindful and just be aware. And when you are, literally, it's like your mind, it just opens up to so many different things. So honor them. If you honor them as much as you can, have conversation with them, talk to them. If you just play music that reminds you of them, dance with them. Like, it's always a celebration of life because they're celebrating you too. And they're here with you on your journey. So yeah, definitely.
I love that they're celebrating with you too, because I feel like more people should just in general be celebrated. Like, just have a random day during the year where you grab a bunch of random people and you're like, hey, we're going to have a party in this warehouse for you to celebrate you for what you bring into the world. And I really am so enchanted with the idea of having our ancestors celebrate us too. It gives me another reason to wake up in the world, honestly. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
I mean, there's a lot of cultures that do it. It's just not, you gotta make it your own culture, make it your own feel good, you know? And they do it for a purpose, and the purpose is so powerful. So, hey, if you can find a way to infuse that and make it your own, why not?
I think what I really love about Dr. Tori and her story is that she's guided by some pretty potent ancestors who dearly love her and clearly are setting her up to succeed. This episode is for so many people, but especially women, because in certain healthcare arenas, it is really challenging as a woman to make yourself heard. Doctors are always really quick, or they don't have enough patients, or they don't want to listen to your symptoms or what have you. But it has been proven scientifically that women have a much harder time having themselves believed when they tell about their symptoms, but not only that, having themselves treated efficiently. And that is obviously something that we need to work on in our society. But I love that Dr. Tori listened and she got herself out of that situation. And then, miraculously, after she was told she would never be able to have children, she now has her precious baby girl. Thank you, Dr. Tori, for telling your story. And thank you for being so vulnerable and for putting yourself out there. As always, dear listeners, I'm going to ask that if you like the content in this show, if you think it's the bee's knees, please consider writing a review or leaving a rating. Those ratings and reviews are so precious, and they help other people find us. As I said before, there will be a link to Dr. Tori's website on the treasures page of the website. That's bitesizedblessings.com. And until then, you know what I'm going to say. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Dr. Tori. Listen to your ancestors. There is no doubt in my mind that Dr. Tori is so loved and that she utilizes the love of her ancestors, those around her, to make beautiful and brave decisions in her life. And part of that is acknowledging that there is magic in the world, that miracles can happen. And I think, just looking at Dr. Tori's daughter, that there it is. She is a bona fide miracle, but only because Dr. Tori had faith and belief in herself. See you next week for episode 151 and the final episode of 2023.